Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Comedy Festival, baby!
Is this it? Has the ad begun?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. Wow. So the Comedy Festival starts in Melbourne today, if you're listening to this as soon as it's come out, and we just wanted to drop in before the episode to let you know about a bunch of stuff that the three of us, special comedy boys, are doing. I have a solo stand-up show that is on April 2 and then the 9th until the 23rd of April at the European Beer Cafe at 9:30 p.m. It's called Dinner for Two. It's stand-up. It's like a bunch of drawings and stuff that I've done. It's going to be really, really fun. Adam Knox, what do you got?
I got a show. It's going every night except Wednesdays. It's at 7:15. It's at the Imperial Hotel. Come check out your boy. It's called It's Adam and Eve, Not Adam Knox. It's stand-up comedy.
And now it's my turn. The runt of the litter. Yeah. The baby bear. So Knox and I are in a sketch group called Chimp Cop, and we're doing a show called Chimp Cop Forever. That is at Trades Hall. It's 9:45 p.m. It is running from Thursday, the 30th of March.
It's like a narrative show as well. It's not like a sketch show.
We're a sketch group, but this is like a play kind of.
Well, people use this term as kind of a term that your ignorant auntie and uncle use when they describe you doing stand-up comedy. But it's literally true in the case of you guys that you're doing a little comedy play.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's what we do. It's kind of different to most stuff in the festival, I think. And we're really, really proud of this one. And I think everyone is kind of guaranteed to enjoy it.
I've come to all your guys' shows.
Everyone in the world is guaranteed to enjoy it.
Well, it's
the only unifying thing on the face of the planet.
It's not an offensive show. There's nothing that's going to put your grandma offside. Like, it's just a very broad, funny thing. I want to see grandmas there.
Yeah. No, I see your shows every year and they're always really funny. And yeah, they're different to anything else in the festival, not just stand up, not unconnected sketches. And yeah, it's fun to see something that's got that much kind of thought and stuff put into it.
More importantly, we're all doing a live show of this podcast on the 22nd.
The 22nd of April, 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. We're going to have a bunch of guests coming in who've been on the show before. We're planning a whole bunch of different segments. It's not going to be just us talking for an hour. I think we're going to have a screen and do some form of live video gaming in some capacity. So yeah, that's selling pretty well already. It'd be great to see a bunch of you guys down there. We've heard from a few of you that are a few people making a weekend of it from interstate, which is cool. Because you can kind of do over two nights. You can see me and Adam, and then you can see Chimp Cop. So that's all the stuff that we're doing for the Comedy Festival. Tickets for all that stuff is at worldstarhiphop.com. No, Comedy Festival.
Beer, 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 beer.
Comedyfestival.com.au for the tickets to our shows, and then for the live podcast episode, it is, what is it, tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
That is it.
Cool, enjoy this episode. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, hello. You've also got
Minamo Adam Knox.
Dressed all in black today.
Yeah.
A common cat burglar.
They're theatre blacks.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I like it.
So that I blend it. I look like a disembodied head and hands. Like Rayman.
Like, more like Rain Man, if you ask me.
Oh, I don't get that.
And that cheeky third voice is
Tom Cruise from Rain Man. It's Ben Vanel here. Feeling good, feeling fresh. It's early in the morning.
It is early in the morning.
Yeah.
The Comedy Festival is starting for all of us this week.
Yep.
So none of us are allowed to say the name of the Scottish play, lest we curse our opening night performances.
Train Spotting. Oh, no!
Dave Callan. And a little less conversation.
Now, we had some feedback, I remember, last year during the Comedy Festival from deadbeat dad Andrew Levins, who said that listening to us talk about the Comedy Festival on this show in the middle of doing the Comedy Festival made it sound like it's the most depressing thing that a person can do with their time. So I think we should keep one eye on that and make an effort to really keep morale up around here over the next month. Because I don't think we did – we weren't very strict on our upload schedule this time last year.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think
true,
we were more than happy to go a month without doing an episode. But now now we've committed ourselves to the weekly grind.
Yes.
Yeah, the trains are running on time now. And we're going to be here. No, I'm in good spirits.
Yeah, me too.
Me too, but you know, let's give it 2 weeks and see how we go. So I just want to keep one eye on that because I don't want to – Yeah, he said it was hard to listen to because we all sounded completely broken.
Yeah.
I don't think your guys' show had even started yet. I don't think Jim Cobb was even going at that point.
That'd be why then, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, we were probably rehearsing every spare moment. Yeah. Exhausting. Yeah.
But we've been doing that same thing now. And not really. Well, but there's heaps of video game shit that's happened in the last week.
Yeah.
Most interestingly for me.
Well, most interestingly for the group, there is something.
Speak for everybody. Should we talk about the weekend, last weekend, about the Planet Broadcasting launch thing?
Oh, yeah.
If you think there's anything worth saying about it, then
thanks to all those people for coming. It was cool to meet people who listen to the show.
Yeah. That was actually. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say because we haven't.
That's what you were going to say. You didn't want to bring it up at all.
Fuck, I've been busted. Well, because we haven't done a live episode of this yet, and so that was kind of the first time we had met a bunch of listeners en masse. Mm. So that was very cool. A lot of people seemed a little.
Pick your words carefully here.
Yeah, embarrassed to come and say hi. Which is, you do not have to feel like that at all. Like people kind of come over and feel like, I don't know, people would always, like, a few people asked for a photo and they did it with this vibe of like, they felt like they were wasting our time or whatever. Yeah. And you do not have to feel that way. Like, no, it was very, very nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, being asked to take a photo with someone or to sign something that happened as well is the coolest feeling in the world. Yeah.
Unless it's a cop telling you to do it.
Yeah. I like
cops. If a cop goes, I need to take your photo and then you need to sign this. Mm. Buddy, you're going to jail. Oh.
Not enough fans asking for fingerprints. Like, just there with the big ink pad and Can I get your fingerprint on that? To be fair, we didn't make it easy. We were very antisocial at this thing. So for context, it was the launch of Planet Broadcasting, which is a new Australian podcast network run by our friends James and Meso from the Weekly Planet, which we are a part of, a bunch of other great podcasts are a part of, and they had like a big kind of launch to kick off the website where we got up and just basically bullied the people that are now employing us in our 90-second pitch for this show.
Established dominance early.
Yes. And then, that part of it was like an open bar drinks thing on the rooftop of the Rivoli Cinemas where the event was. And yeah, we didn't make it. Maybe that's why people seemed like they felt weird because we were sitting in the corner, our backs to the rest of the gathering, like really closed off.
I guess
like,
so.
You really had to make an effort to penetrate our social circle to get in. So,
but there were a lot of people standing around. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it was cool to meet people.
It was really cool to meet people. Mm. Thanks especially to the two men who...
Marcus and Fraser. I wrote their names down.
Yeah. Who brought us... And by the way, they had two of these.
Yeah.
Copies of Austin Powers Pinball on the PlayStation 1 for us to sign. They said they found them in an op shop, which is funny, which is a great thing to just chance upon an op shop. And who?
An absolute gold mine.
And who's
of
the
content.
Person, a gold member mine?
Excuse me?
Who's the person donating that to the op? Like, why are you not just choosing that out?
It's like finding.
This will help you guys out. Here's a copy of Austin Powers Pinball.
Yeah. Mike Myers, when he was doing the vocal takes for that, do you think he ever knew that one day that would be going towards putting clothing on a homeless person's back? So that was a great day. And thanks to those guys. And
speaking of great days, I am in a great days over virtual reality.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
We haven't tried it ever before. And a listener, a very, very kind listener who...
Someone slid into DMs during the week.
Yeah.
Lorel Gaming is the name of his YouTube channel. He does like YouTube videos and we thought we'd give him a little...
Yeah.
What do you call it? A shout out?
A shout out, a plug, a thank you.
A shout out and a thank you for donating enough to get get VR for the people.
Boy. He just hit us up.
I'm still in there in my head. I'm still...
He just hit us up and said, hey, can I buy you guys VR?
Yeah.
And I was like, take me out for dinner first.
So we got the PlayStation VR. We've all given it a try now.
Yep.
What do you guys think?
Well, so Ben, you went and got it during the week.
Yep.
And me and Knox just had a quick like 10-minute go of it before the recording.
Yeah, it's a communal VR thing that's at Ben's house.
Yeah.
Well, I had to go and buy it on my lunch break.
I did think this is going to get tricky because now the show, you don't yet have a PS4.
No.
So I need to get my hands on this thing. Well, it now's the easiest it's ever going to be because there's only two of us to share it around.
Yep.
If you ever get a PS4, then things are going to get tricky.
You know what?
Like that early Simpsons episode where they go thirds in a copy of Radioactive Man number one.
Yeah. After I've had that for a while as well, you boys are not going to want to put it back on.
Yeah, exactly. That's my worry. Boy. You
what
and
needs
me
to happen?
Need to thrash it out. And then when we never want to touch it again, then Nox can have it.
Why don't you have honey on your face?
Someone, a listener needs to donate enough money for us to buy a house to live in together so we can just share everything in a communal video games house.
That's the only way. That's the only way.
That's the only way I can see it happening.
Richie Rich, if you're listening, get Capri over here.
Yeah, take some of the money out of that till of that McDonald's that's in your house. Wait, I should watch that scene back because I'm pretty sure they have cash registers.
Yeah, I think
In his McDonald's that's in his house. Why? As if you're being charged for it, it's in your own house.
Yeah, but if Richie Rich fucking strolled up and just took a hamburger.
Yes.
Like, he can afford to pay for it. It's a functioning McDonald's at this point. But then that's even worse because that McDonald's is not doing well, serving exclusively one child.
I'm sure he tips well, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I reckon they're just all on a retainer. Like, they're all just they get a salary to just turn up and be in there all day.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And there'd be days, it's actually kind of bleak, because there'd be days where they're just in there.
Yeah.
And none of the Rich family are wanting any fucking hamburgers.
Yeah.
So they're just there with their fucking thumbs up their asses, just doing nothing.
And then when they make a burger after that as well, the burger tastes terrible.
Oh. Mm. It's like Nox's VR. So yeah, I've had it for a little bit longer than you guys, which was 10 minutes. But yeah, I've had it for a few days, and I've done sort of the whole, you know, range of things. So I've like watched Netflix in it. I've played a normal game.
Yes, that, by the way, when you got it in our group chat, you were like, oh, it's sick. I just watched a movie on Netflix. I was like, this guy does not get it. Well, like, what a fucking waste.
I don't know if like you guys could kind of get
this
the feeling.
Whole history book's around me. Boo. You're a nerd. Boo.
It's well,
oh, Carter 96 is popping off.
I'm a nerd. Wow. But it feels like you have a giant screen in front of
you. Yes, yes.
So it felt like you're sitting in a private cinema, something that might be at, like a Richie Rich house, perhaps.
Mm. We were very basic when we both put it on. Like, it literally is, you just see the main PlayStation menu, but yeah, and a giant screen in front of you.
It's
and there was
big
a moment where both of us
screen.
Went, whoa, the menu's huge.
Yeah. It is. It's a floating cinema screen. Netflix is cool. It's kind of, I mean, for me, like, when I'm trying to watch a movie, I get so easily distracted, and it felt good to just be like, oh, I'm going to focus on this.
By what? By a wall?
By
a nearby
a computer,
wall?
By your phone.
Yeah, using
like,
your phone.
Right.
No,
like,
I
constantly get up and, so it was like, oh, it's like when you're at the movies, it's like, well, I have to pay attention to this.
Yeah, really.
So that was cool. I played No Man's Sky.
Wait, what movie did you watch?
What did I watch? I think Ant-Man, maybe. That was pretty cool.
You can't remember. This was within the last week.
Tommy,
I've
done a lot of things within the last week, all of which I regret. No. So I played No Man's Sky, and that was cool because, like, as you'd expect, it's like, you know, it's a first-person game. It's like you're flying around.
But so you can play anything, even if it's not made for VR.
Just on the TV,
but it's
though.
Just like a screen.
It's just
in
a massive screen.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does No Man's Sky not? I thought that had VR. Maybe not. Maybe they're bringing VR stuff into it later.
Potentially. It's certainly not part of the normal game. And that was cool. You do notice, and I think that you guys both found this as well, just with the actual like pack-in like demo thing.
Mm.
You can see the pixels. Like, it does look much worse than a TV.
Like, it's odd because it looks fine, but there's just, like, not a graininess, but, like, the way I've seen it described in other places is, like, a screen door effect.
Mm.
Where, you know, if you're real up close to a screen door looking out, hoping that your dad will unlock it one day, you get, like, that little...
At least those mozzies aren't getting you, though.
You get that crosshatch, like, net effect. It's like having...
I mean, dad's gone, but that's how you at least know that he loves you, because he locked the screen door.
Yeah.
So that the mozzies can't get it.
The mozzies can't sting you, but the lack of love stings.
I mean, it was more to keep me in than to keep them out. You know what I mean? But anyway.
like Rorschach in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like you pulled a hairnet over your face. But it's very quickly I started.
Well, that, I mean, totally. I don't think I would be interested in, like, watching a movie or just playing any other game in it because I would notice the pixels. But mm-hmm. once you're in something that's made for it,
yeah.
that the effect of that is so overwhelming that, to be yeah. honest, I didn't – now that you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. But,
yeah.
you know, there's so much else going on that is enough of a distraction that you don't notice. It's like, oh, this is kind of
totally, race. Totally. Before I played one of the actual games, I was a bit skeptical about it. I yeah. was like, oh, it's going to be like this. And then, yeah, I played the playroom stuff.
So, yeah, it was better than – I don't know why I had in my head, but it – what I was expecting it to be, but it's better than I thought it would be.
Mm.
Put it that way. Like,
yeah.
after – like, it's definitely something that after playing this one, it's something that I – now I'm like, oh, I would buy one of them for myself.
Yeah.
It still needs – games, but so we played the we played the playroom,
yeah,
which what comes in, right? comes
yeah.
with it
comes with it. You just download it once you hook up your VR, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So Nox, you played one where
I was a giant Godzilla,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and I was walking down the street
walking down the street.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was doing. Godzilla's got to get around.
You were rampaging.
I was walking, but then you tilt your head to the left and the right to knock over buildings like yep. Pele.
And that's I was playing.
What's unfair about Godzilla is that all, you know, the army's trying to get him. Mm. I mean, Godzilla's just popping down the shops.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
What,
he's
do you
just
want him to get a
stroll.
Bus? He'll fucking break it. It's not. He's got to walk.
Yeah, so...
imagine if you were an Uber driver and you pulled up and bloody Godzilla's there waiting to get in.
Oh,
imagine
no.
what that'd be like. What if Godzilla was on Tinder? Hey, what do you reckon?
And you're like one star.
Yeah, yeah. You swipe left, bloody Mothra. Blah, blah, blah. Comedy festival's on. We're depressed again.
Yeah, so... of the two that we played on this, it's cool that they are games where the VR person... has it on, but then other people can just play with a controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of cool because it sort of reminds me of the Nintendo Land pack-in with
oh, yeah.
the Wii U, which had a whole bunch of games on it that utilized the fact that one person has the gamepad and they have
totally.
A different view,
yep.
which they never capitalized on with any other games on that system. And I always yeah. thought it was such a cool device. Like when that came out, I thought, fuck, here we go. This is going to kind of be really like revolutionary for party games and stuff. Mm. So it's kind of cool to see that idea come back in VR. Like,
yeah,
definitely.
I really like that.
There's
like,
a game called...
The Keep Talking or It'll yes. Explode or whatever. Yeah.
Well done from...
yeah.
You managed to get that.
I know you. I know what you're thinking.
But that I've... really want to get that and give that a go.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be perfect.
So have you seen that?
No, but I think maybe Callan was talking about it.
Yeah,
I think
yes. You get a...
when he was here kilting around.
Yep.
If you're in the VR thing, you have a bunch of bombs in front of you, or a bomb with a bunch of panels with switches and patterns and shit.
Yeah.
We get a big manual. We've got to flip through it and tell you what to do with each thing.
That's really cool. Mm. Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm.
And it's I'm actually a lot more like...
Oh, so let's go back. So then I played a game that was I was a cat and you guys were mice and you had to run around a kitchen and get cheese.
Yeah. Yep.
And I can see you silhouetted behind a curtain, and if I lean forward, the curtain opens and basically you're...
If we're moving,
if you're moving and I pop my head out, you...
What's the time, Mr.
Yeah,
Wolf?
Yeah, totally, yeah, yeah, totally.
And the games were both very, very simple and like the sort of thing that I doubt you'd want to go back to very often, you know? But the effect of what VR was like was cool enough that...
But there are definitely things that you'd go back to with other people, like having people around, definitely. Like,
so there's another game where you kind of like go into a mech and you have a minigun. And then, and it's like, I think you're on like the floor of like a kid's bedroom and all these like Lego brick monsters start coming at you. So it's like a horde mode kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you're just shooting and gunning them down and you're like they're going in the sky and you're looking around. And like that, I think would be kind of, maybe fun to go back to a couple of times.
It's
like
a
party
thing. I think
it
feels like a fun party thing that you could like, I don't know. It's just interesting, you know, in the wake of, not that I've played it yet, but by all accounts, 1-2 Switch, which is kind of... a similar idea of like showing off this, like it's meant to be doing the job of like, hey, he's showing off this bit of tech or whatever.
Yeah.
Which seems very limited and like you get over it pretty quickly. I'd play those games again. Like I'd happily go into them again when people were around.
Mm.
I mean, not like I don't think there's enough there to sustain it as a purchase. like long term.
No.
Like this is the thing that everyone's said about VR. It's great, but it just needs stuff on it that fit. But I get it now. Like I totally like, you know, the headset feels comfortable, like it works really well. Like my big worry was it'd be, you know, kind of clunky or that, you know, one of those things that's come out before it's ready and the tech's not quite there or whatever.
The headset definitely felt good. The controller floated around a little bit and wasn't like so you see a 3D representation of your controller.
Yeah.
And that was a little floppy.
Yes.
It just didn't feel particularly great.
So it's not like, I guess it is the recommended way to play it is to have the PlayStation Move controllers.
Yeah.
Which we don't have. They're like, you know, another ridiculous amount of money.
I used to have some and I sold them. Like I won them in a competition.
Oh.
I won them in a competition.
World's dumbest man?
You there, boy.
Pretty close. Oh. I won them as a consolation prize for trying to win tickets to go see Jamiroquai. Like 5 years ago, Jamiroquai came out here and the only gig they did was they played at Sydney Harbour on New Year's Eve.
Right.
And it was like Sony was running it. And I don't think I've mentioned this on this show, but I'm a big, long-time Jamiroquai fan.
Yep. Inexplicably.
Is it inexplicable? Come on, they had hits.
It is virtually insane that you are such a big Jamiroquai fan.
Hey, not bad, and we're talking about virtual reality.
Oh, wow. That is a perfect tie-in.
I just like entered, like I really wanted to win. And I think I entered a bunch of times.
Right.
And then I never heard anything about it. But then like a month later, a package turned up at my house that had, two PlayStation Moves and a copy of SingStar. Oh, a microphone.
Yeah, right.
I didn't even know that was a consolation prize you could get. They were just like, oh, here you go. You didn't get Jamiroquai tickets, but here's a whole bunch of shit for the PlayStation. And I literally never used any of it.
Yeah, wow.
I think I plugged it in and used the Move thing like once and just went, oh, it's a Wii remote. Who cares?
Yeah.
But now I'm wishing I'd...
Well, definitely for the PS3, there wasn't a lot of reason to get it. The application of it there was like a couple of fucking dumb games that were full of mini games and shit. And then like I think Killzone, you could use it like a Wii remote to...
It is very funny that it's been sitting there, this piece of tech, like that they haven't really done anything with for 6 years.
Well, the
and
camera.
Then all of a sudden they're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
We'll put him in VR.
Yeah. The camera's the same. The camera's like old as fuck. Like it's just the same. They've changed the look, but it's the same actual camera and it's been around.
That is an old camera. It's on like a tripod and there's a big curtain behind it that a man is standing there.
Yeah.
Look at the bird here.
Yeah. It's a bird with a slate and it puts you in VR and it goes, it's living. So... Where were we?
The controls, talking about
sense
controls.
Sense of space is exactly what it was described. Like, I've heard people describe VR plenty.
Yeah.
And always kind of gone, yeah, right.
Yeah, totally.
And I actually felt like I was in a huge area.
Yeah.
And it's really, really effective.
It really makes me want to play Resident Evil in it.
Oh, God.
Resident Evil 7 and Fallout 4, they're doing a VR patch.
Oh, wow. And the Batman one. Everyone says the Batman one's great, so I definitely want to try that. Yeah,
I'd really like to... Yeah, having played the demo things and finding them kind of fun, I was like, oh, wow, if the shitty little pack-in thing is this good, I'm really excited to... There's another one, I forget what it's called, but it's like some kind of puzzle game that's got a kind of quirky, cartoony sort of style.
That
is apparently quite good. Where you're not viewing from the perspective of a character. You're kind of like a camera, like flying around, looking at it, which sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's on. So there's a pack-in thing. There's also the demo disc, and so on that, you get to play a really tiny bit of that game. I forget what it's called. I was going to look it up, but I can't remember. But that's on it. The London Heist thing, which is like a series of different kinds of games. Yeah. So it's like there's a shooting range bit and like a chase bit and then some other stuff. There's like the going underwater one.
Mm-hmm.
And those ones, their visuals were a lot more refined and a lot more impressive than the pack-in one. People, like teams have properly worked on this. They've found like used all the tricks and all the distraction things and all the immersive stuff to make them really good. And they were even more impressive.
I was interested. I thought that was really interesting. The what was it called? The Playbox thing that we were playing.
Playroom.
That it wasn't really going for that. I mean, it did still feel that way, but it wasn't going for like, here's a complete fucking sensory overload.
No, yeah, it's
like
cartoony.
I hadn't really thought of it as the as the potential for like a party game machine.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see a kind of Mario Party style thing in VR where, like I was saying, you're playing on the fact that one of you has this view that the others don't have and the rest of you are watching the TV. Like, I think that's really cool, a thing where you rotate it around and, the potential for it as a multiplayer thing I hadn't really thought of because it, just looking at it from the outside, it just seemed like a very, like, I don't know, like cut off, like you're just, one person's just in it and you can watch them play if you want.
The fact that the headset is like so well designed and it's like it's easy to take on, to put on and take off and move around. It's not clunky or anything. It's like, there's a big cable coming out of it, but you just forget that's immediately.
Yeah, I think in the early reviews, I think that's where my skepticism came from. I just remember, and stupidly, I mean, of course it needs all that other stuff plugged into it, but I kind of hadn't realized that, and then the reviews came out and they're like, oh, there's all these cables and a box, and I was like, oh, that sounds kind of shitty. Like, it just sounds like I had it in my head that you had to have the cable wasn't that long and you had to have the box like sitting next to you, but it does, it's very lightweight, like it's very, and it's definitely something that you could easily swap around in a session without it being like a big,
The only thing was that it, like, the lenses inside fogged up a little for me and for you as well, right?
Yeah, when I first put it on the other day, it took me a while to adjust to it.
But it came with a little weird cloth that has all, like, the PlayStation.
Like when you buy a glasses case and you get a little glasses cleaner.
Are you freaking out over this cloth? Have you honestly never seen one of them before?
It's embossed with a bunch of little
I haven't seen that bit. Oh, okay, that's crazy.
It's cool.
That's cool. Whoa, what the fuck?
With the party stuff as well, there is something innately funny about watching someone be in VR.
Totally.
Like they look like they're being an idiot.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I'll say is I expected it to have audio in it, which I found.
Oh, it does.
You wear headphones.
You can plug little earbuds in.
Oh, okay. But I mean,
it is just the same audio that comes out of the TV.
Yeah, I kind of expected it to be like when you put the thing on, then you've got sound in there as well.
Right.
Like maybe 360 sound or whatever. Right. I don't know.
If you get a good big pair of headphones.
I guess that's up to you. But it did that felt a little weird to me that you've got this vision there, but then the sound is I found the sound is a bit far away.
Right, sure.
Like you can see this little mouse like right in front of you, but then the footsteps from it are coming from a distance that's not.
So
like,
I think
right
all you have to do is plug in earbuds into the control-y bit on the cable.
Right.
And it's
right.
And it's yeah, it's like it is surround sound kind of thing.
Can I borrow it?
It's great.
Yeah.
It actually really cool. Works. I like it is expensive and thanks again to Laurel for
Laurel Gaming.
Laurel Gaming. So what, youtube.com/
I believe so, yeah.
Laurel Gaming.
Or just Chuck Laurel.
And it's just sort of like playthroughs and stuff of games. It seems.
You want to spell it out like for the folks?
Spell it out.
LYRELLGAMING.
What's that second word?
My name.
Gamming?
Gammon. Gammon.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Salmon fishing on the gammon.
Ooh.
Oh, that doesn't even sound a thing like yammon.
What do we know that's coming out for it? Because I reckon, given
this is, what I was going to say. That
well,
this
year.
We know. Huge we amount.
Model train simulator's coming.
Model train simulator one day.
Yeah. That Star Trek thing that Callan mentioned when he was on.
Oh, yeah.
Bridge Commander.
Yeah.
So, I was like, that. Resident Evil 7 seems like it's going to be cool, but there's not a lot of stuff right now. So, like, if you're on the fence, hang on.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, it's cool, but this isn't something that, like, you need to go get it.
No.
Yeah, I reckon maybe give it a year of just a sort of slow trickling and there'll be like a sort of sleeper hit that comes out that no one expects to be that great and then is really great. I mean, maybe within a year it could be, I can definitely see it being like the sick, like kind of must-have thing.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a tricky thing to make a thing where like Resident Evil where by all accounts, really good game in its own right.
It's
then
good.
Takes it to the next level. Like, I guess it's kind of hard to walk that line between making it, if you don't just make it a VR exclusive, like making the VR not just feel tacked on and also not making it feel like you're only getting half the experience if you're not playing in VR. I guess that's kind of a challenge for developers.
Yeah.
And I guess really the only way you can do that is first person style game.
Yeah, I guess
really.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, having played through Resident Evil 7 just on a TV, I kind of would love to play through it again on a VR thing. Mm, like, it is exactly the sort of thing you... It would be fucked.
I reckon that... Do you reckon that will potentially become the next thing? You know, Nintendo loves doing their HD remasters of things, a couple consoles down the line. They'll just take a lot of classics and do a, you know, Uncharted VR.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have no idea how simple that... That probably isn't possible.
Well, no, look, that's a bad example, but I reckon...
No. I mean, just in general for any game, like the way the... What I'd imagine you'd have to do, just because... To my understanding, the way graphics work is that you usually whatever's on TV is the only thing being rendered.
Yeah.
And if you would need to completely change the way that you were rendering shit.
Oh, totally. Sure, they would need to do them for the ground up.
It'd be a fuckload of work.
I would think that would potentially be a strategy to get people interested to go, this game that you've played through that you love, here's now the opportunity to play through it again in a completely different way. That's
on the,
like, stuff that they already know is a hit, where they're not taking a gamble on, is this game good?
Yeah.
I reckon there would be, like, I know they would have to completely remake the game, but say, for example, in 2 years, if they go Uncharted 4 now in VR, people would go fucking sick for that.
Yeah.
Maybe. And, yeah, they have, I think I might be wrong about what I said before, because they have, people have, like, modded in VR stuff for, like, Half-Life and Doom and shit.
Right. Imagine, like, GTA 5 in VR.
I think they've done that.
Yeah, that'd be
maybe as well. Because there's the first person mode in that already.
Totally. So all you do is, like, you're mapping the mouse, you know, view to the headset.
It seems cool. I do want to play something where I'm moving around with a controller. Apparently that makes you feel sick for whatever reason.
Yes. So one of the other games in the playroom is just a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that you start to, like, move forward and then the headset slowly, like, follows in terms of, like, a third person view thing. Mm. And it's, like, a bit out of sync. It's like, whoa, like, you're a bit unbalanced.
It's like, what?
It's like, whoa.
I'm going to throw up the czar, bro.
And so when I probably sat down to play that stuff for the first time, I played for like half an hour and that was about the limit. It was like, I'm starting to get a bit woozy here. I was like, whoa, and I just had to stop.
And it does seem like they're figuring out ways of fixing that already. So, yeah, I like you say, I could see it being big in a couple of years or being done in a couple of years. So.
Yeah.
What do we think in terms, because we were talking about this before we started recording, Nintendo have been very cagey when asked about VR, but cagey in a way where they're like, they've kind of made it sound like they're leaning towards it.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
Xander Cage. What do you think? Do you
Luke
think
they're Cage.
Gonna, do you David think, Cage.
Who?
He's the guy who did Heavy Rain.
Oh, a video games reference.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Birdcage.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's just the fanboy.
Triple M's The Cage.
God.
Oh, the Rush Hour.
Kill me. It's probably just the fanboy in me talking, but yeah, just what we were playing then, I'd love to see VR with a bit of Nintendo polish on it.
Like, and if it's like a party kind of thing, that's Nintendo's deal as well. It's like, get everyone involved.
Well,
have a fun time.
You know, like, the resolution of those things, I think, is like 720p or something, right? Which is this screen on the Switch as well.
Yeah.
The resolution of the VR headsets. Glasses. No, they're like 1080.
Are you sure? I don't think they are.
Oh, maybe just the...
Maybe
I think
900
so.
Or something.
I don't reckon
know.
It was 1080.
No.
The headset.
I'm going to look this up while we're talking, but...
Maybe it's 1080 pixels by something, but it's 720p
resolution. So what do you reckon? Because do you think they're lining up to do it? Because they've been asked about it a couple of times and they haven't flat out said no. I think their official line has been, they've said they're looking into it. They're kind of tinkering with it and I think they want to make sure that that they get in when it's the timing's right. That does lead me to believe that they're maybe looking at it for the Switch or for something.
Well, if the Switch is like their... does everything, you know, like device. It's like, it's portable, it's a console, it's got motion control, it's you know, it's got support for, you know, a bunch of like indie downloads and stuff and everything.
How does it plug in? Like, where does that box, that plug into the back of the...
And there's a USB connection there as well. Is it just two USBs or something?
No, USB? It's like an HDMI cable to like the TV, and then also another one to the PlayStation, and then there's also a USB. So it's a bunch of stuff, but it's HDMI.
It's plugged into the TV as well.
Yeah, I think what's happening is the PlayStation's passing through that little box, and the box is going to the TV.
Oh, wow, okay.
There's a lot of stuff going on this shelf now.
Yeah.
Um, The by the way, the resolution thing is some weird thing, and who cares?
Oh.
But so I was just wondering if you could, if they could make a headset where you slide the switch into it, and then like it's got two little holes.
Well, that's what people do. Yeah, right. With those people have made those ones for
the
phones.
Samsung stuff.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because if you take the Joy-Cons off, that's not a giant piece of machinery.
That's roughly the same size as the front end of that VR.
Yeah,
the PlayStation VR.
It is too. Yeah. So I think we might have cracked it.
Get Shigeru on the phone.
And so what, then you'd have a headset that itself is plugged into the TV that's got power, that the switch is just sliding.
Or just not have it on the TV. Just have it like you just put the switch into your face.
Yeah. Into your face.
That would be interesting to see.
I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if it has enough power. The fact that the PS4 is more powerful than a Switch and needs a whole nother box with processing stuff.
Yep.
You probably can't do it. And
but then the benefit of the Switch is that it is its own headset, really.
You have the Switch docked, it's upscaling it onto the TV. Mm. So if you just that's kind of the interesting thing about the Switch. The dock thing does lend itself to you being able to dock it in other like if they made, you know, they could make a dock that like there's no hardware in the dock, like it's just plastic and an extra fan or something.
Yeah.
But if they made a dock that had more processing power, that you plugged into, is that a thing that they could do potentially?
I think so.
Like, maybe like a headset with another processor.
Almost
in
like
it.
Well, it just even they could even do a more powerful console potentially, like a they made the expansion pack for the 64, like
I guess
an expansion pack dock.
That dock isn't doing anything like that. Like that dock is.
No, that's
just
what Tommy's saying. No, that they could
I'm
release
saying.
A new
Down
dock.
The line, could
but
they...
so I don't know if that is even capable of connecting to it in the sort of way that it would need to do that. You know.
Yeah. I think it is.
I just think it, because I'd never thought of the way that it docks as potential for upgrading and doing other stuff with it, which is definitely how they would use it if it was in a headset.
Yeah, it just like it depends on how much their idea is that they're sold on this narrative of it being able to be taken anywhere.
Totally.
Yeah.
And well, so if it dilutes that, then they wouldn't ever.
I think that the most likely thing is that they do like the Samsung Gear thing and they release a headset that the Switch just slots into.
If they ever do it at all.
Yeah. Because that thing, it'd have to be cheap enough for anyone to really be able to get it if they were a Nintendo fan.
You know what? When Nintendo's prices have been lately.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe
you know what's interesting is like, and again, it's here comes fucking, you know, a million tweets going, oh, the ultimate fanboy. But like, you know,
I want Nintendo to fuck me in the ass. That's just what I want.
Yeah, the Switch is getting, you know, like, oh yeah, there's nothing on it and it's really expensive. This fucking VR motherfucker is like $800 once you get everything. And there's, I mean, at least the Switch has Zelda. There's nothing on VR. Like, there's a bunch of little experiences and, like, people just go, oh, cool, I just won't get one. Whereas the Switch people go, I won't get one and fuck anyone who does. It's a fucking rot.
Do you reckon? I don't know. Like, Maybe.
Because
the narrative that Nintendo have painted themselves into a corner of because of how they've done things in the past that makes them very easy to criticize for things that most companies do as well.
The difference maybe with VR is that
it's an accessory.
You still have a PS4 or a PC, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. You get away with it. You kind of get to be like, well, it's a revolution in gaming, but it's also just an accessory.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They're both kind of luxury items at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
I'm living that luxury lifestyle.
Speaking of the Switch, over the weekend I played the Splatoon 2 demo, which they do in kind of an interesting way. I guess it's kind of like they did it with the first one as well. I guess it's kind of for them to test their servers or whatever.
Yeah.
But they do, like, over the weekend they had 6 kind of hour-long time slots that were the same everywhere in the world. So they kind of spread them out. So I guess every time zone gets a fair shake.
Yeah.
And there's like an hour where you can get on and play against other people. And so, yeah, I think I went in twice over the weekend and it was, it's the same demo build that we played at the hands-on event at the start of the year, but it was cool to actually have a bit of kind of time, like actual time with it.
Yeah.
I played it on the TV to start with and I was like, oh, it's probably better to, I've played Splatoon a bunch on the TV. It's probably better to play it in handheld mode and get a bit of a feel for that.
Yep.
And yeah, it's cool. I mean, there's like one new weapon in it. It feels very familiar, but I feel like they're really, it's almost, at the moment it almost feels more like Splatoon 1.5.
Yep.
I think they're assuming that a lot of people just missed the first one because it was on the Wii U, so they're not, you know, they're not shaking it up too much, but that's fine.
I mean, we've kind of talked about a lot of their gambles that they've made.
Mm.
And in terms of like knowing that not many people bought a Wii U, and pushing the Switch really hard and putting and basically, yeah, having 1.5 yeah. you know, versions of like Splatoon and Mario Kart 8. That is accurate. Like, lots more people have a Switch now.
Yeah.
And they probably will be playing these games and they probably won't have played them before.
I mean, Mario Kart 8 is out in a month and that's going to be huge for them. Yeah. Like, the uptake, only... just the people that I know who've bought a Switch who haven't had a Nintendo console in a decade.
Yeah.
And now getting to go in and play that in a month, like, that's going to be the next massive uptake for them, I
absolutely.
Reckon. Like,
yeah, the only thing that becomes sort of weird then is like, okay, cool, why aren't you putting like Mario Maker or
Smash Bros.
Yeah, Smash Brothers, I guess, is the other Wii U.
Yeah.
Which, like, that apparently is looking like it's going to be in a new one.
Yeah.
Right.
In
yeah.
some way.
Which is cool.
That's also, I thought it was, really fun. Not having the gamepad screen, because on the Wii U you had a map at all times,
right?
That you could see, because the whole thing is like trying to cover
this like push and pull of the two.
So you're trying to cut. Yeah, you two teams. You're trying to both like put paint on the ground, and whoever's covered the most terrain wins.
Yeah.
So you can at all times kind of see who's leading or whatever, and then when you die, you can tap on the map to where you want to respawn.
All right.
So having to now push a button to do that is again just the failing of the gamepad not catching on, where it was actually, you know, great. It had a lot of really great practical applications. But yeah, like, I think what will be interesting though, I'm looking forward to getting a bit more information about it, because, you know, the first one, the single player mode was really, really good, but pretty short, but like really, really good. And the whole focus of it was online. It didn't even have local multiplayer. It was all online, which I think will be interesting to see. I think they're going to need to change it up a bit because it's portable, because you're not always going to be able to have an internet connection. So I'd like to think that they're – I mean, we already know it's going to have local multiplayer, like wireless, which is cool. But, yeah, I really hope there's, like, robust single-player stuff in there, because they can't just have it be online all the time, because they know people are taking it on the go potentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more about that. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's a new thing that, because a lot of people missed, I'm looking forward to – when it comes out, like, more people getting on board with it, because it is really fun. Like, it's a really, really fun game.
Splatoon, I've played a bit of the first Splatoon since getting that Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking great. It's really, really fun.
I was so, when they announced it first, I was like, fuck, I just didn't really like the look of it. I didn't like the aesthetic. But
Squid Boy and Squid Girl and stuff.
Yeah, but you get into it. It's so, totally. It's just,
it sells its presentation so well.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That little song,
the music,
in like
the all the rock music.
That little noise.
Nintendo started putting up clips around the time Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon came out of the bands that do all the music for those games.
Oh, cool.
And on YouTube you can find like the band that did all the Splatoon music.
Oh, right.
And they're very, very Japanese.
It reminds me of like Jet Set Radio a little bit. That sort of thing. And it's very fun. It's like just really simple and like streamlined the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun.
You adjust to the gamepad aiming thing very quickly.
Yeah. That was the one thing I struggled with a little bit, first of all, playing the demo, the motion control stuff. But once you get your head around that, I still hope there's an option to disable it when the full game comes out.
Yeah.
But you get used to it pretty easily. Like I said this when we played the hands-on, it was the most I've liked, even with the Pro Controller. Same with aiming in Zelda. I find it very intuitive. Like it just is – it's just smooth. Like it works really well.
Yeah.
And yeah, Nintendo have come out recently and said that they're going to start churning out a lot more new IPs in the next 2 years, which I thought was interesting, which they had not done before Splatoon. They hadn't done for ages. And then
Would it have been like Pikmin?
Pikmin would have been the last new one,
Jesus.
And then Splatoon, and then like ARMS is coming this year. And so they kind of say they're putting a focus on, trotting out a bunch of new ones, which is great news, which I think is exciting.
Cool. Like, yeah, I still kind of hope in the back of my head that they do another Metroid and another F-Zero.
Yes.
Definitely. F-Zero for sure. Like, big time.
I'm at the point now where, like, a lot of our friends have Switches, and I I'm loving Zelda still, but I really want a multiplayer game.
I want to get together and, yeah, totally. Like, yeah. I want to have a... It's a shame that Mario Kart's out on the other side of the comedy festival.
Yeah, like 5 days after or something.
Man,
yeah,
man. Like, because did Ben Russell end up getting one? But anyway.
I think so, maybe, yeah. But yeah, a few of our previous guests, Jen Fricker has one. Mark Bonanno.
Yeah. Callan got one. Yep. Yeah, having a night.
I think everyone but me has one.
But yeah, having a night where we all get
and
together.
I'm not going to buy it and fuck you, Nintendo.
No, come play Splatoon 2 with us.
Never.
We should start a little Switch club before Catfish Comedy after the...
That's a good idea.
After the comedy festival. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Splatoon 2 demo, good fun, nothing much to add. Just
When's
felt
that
very
out?
Familiar.
Have they said a specific date?
They still
date?
Haven't said, I think, June. Mm. There was a thing that leaked on some forum that's claiming to be a leak of the next Nintendo Direct, which this person thinks is happening this Saturday.
Right.
Where they're announcing a remake of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door.
Nah.
They're announcing GameCube. They're announcing...
No.
A lot more of what's in Splatoon 2, introducing new characters from ARMS. And it's just all, I reckon it's fake because it's just very easy. Like, well, yeah, that's what they would put in it.
Yeah.
But there's just a couple of things. Like, it doesn't, in none of them does it mention Amiibo stuff. And Amiibo is such a big thing that they lean into now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're definitely going to do ARMS Amiibo. They're definitely going to do a new wave of Splatoon Amiibo when they come out. Yeah. Like,
I think they've already shown them maybe the Splatoon. Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know. I don't really follow Amiibo closely because they have the potential to ruin my life.
Yeah, we saw, I think you saw as well, Nox, our friend Andrew Levins's like draw of Amiibo that he has.
That freaked me out. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Draw, like, put them on display. Like, if it was a shelf with
a
heaps
kid.
Of them on,
He's
I'd
got
go.
Two kids.
Like, well, yeah, okay,
yeah, but
that's fair.
It's like 30 like expensive figurines that are just like. He's getting more. They're always growing.
This is
no,
what's
I think that's
me.
Sick. I really do think that's awesome. This like taps into some fucking part of my brain that is like like a hoarder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to have all of them and build my house out of them.
It's pronounced Hodor.
Yeah, there is a bit of a, like, I don't know, I want the fucking Epona. Like, they've got me. Like, I want all the stuff in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, same.
You just can't find these fucking things anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I drove to a shopping centre that's like out in the burbs the other day.
Oh no!
And just walked around, going into all the shops, going, "This is far out from the city. These people out here, they don't know.
Yeah,
they don't know about all this stuff. Like, what a prick, what a snob for just walking around EB and Kmart, going, oh, have you got the link from the Smash Bros? Oh man, it's like, why have they done this? Like, I want to give them my money. They're just making it so hard."
Yeah.
Put them back into production.
But I think there is something, like there must be a reason why they do that. Like it must create some sort of fervor around them that makes them
Well, I guess it's like, I mean, that Link one, because the only way you can get the horse is with the Smash Brothers Link amiibo.
Which is from like
the very
like
first wave that they brought out. Yeah, so I think this is them saying, hey, you better get on these when we bring them out. So I'm hoping that, I mean, I've got Mario from the first wave. So I'm hoping Mario Odyssey I unlock fucking Bowser's big old dick or something with my one that I've got that you can't get anywhere now. Like I'm just looking at those ones that I got going someday, maybe this is going to pay off.
Yep.
Otherwise, what was it all? What was it for, guys?
What's
what was
anything
the point?
For?
I don't know.
Mass Effect, Ben, we've all been very busy. You've done the character creation and nothing else. Talk us to it.
Yeah. It's worse than the previous games. Like, it's not a great first impression.
Let's do an episode where all we review is character creators.
Oh, that's a great
at the
idea.
The start of games.
The Sims 2 had a good one.
Morrowind was a great early one.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour,
believe. Oh, yeah.
It was one of the first to let you do all the sliders and shit.
Oh, right. Yeah, the NBA games, like the early ones had that too.
Perfect Dark had that thing, was going to have that thing where you could use a Game Boy camera to scan your face.
And
they took it out. Because America was all very Columbine-y at the time.
Yep.
And they didn't want people putting
their teacher's
face or whatever.
Oh, right.
So it was already in the game and it worked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they took that out.
Mario Golf on the Game Boy Color.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like an RPG where you're like you.
Oh, wait, I played Mario Tennis, which was the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, so you're you and it's like RPG top-down elements where you're kind of building up to taking on the greatest tennis player of all time, Mario himself. I thought that was really cool. I'd like to see them do something like that again.
Yeah.
That was sick. That was Camelot who did that. Yeah,
an RPG where you're set in that universe, but where you're you. And I really like when they play with that idea
that game
of like
was great.
Mario's a superstar in that world. Like he's real famous. Yeah.
And it gave you a real like... I got really into the tennis of it because you had this other little impetus to
because
do it.
Because it's staggered. Mm. Yeah, I thought it was really cool and interesting. Like I remember like being a fan of Mario Tennis on the 64 at the time and going, oh, cool, a Game Boy version. That's cool. And then it had this whole other element to it and being like, this is sick.
It's not frequently employed very well. So like a lot of the like the EA like sports franchise
FIFA
games
and stuff do that now.
Yeah, and
one of the NBA ones had something that was like directed by Spike Jonze, I think.
Yeah.
And like you had to play the devil in basketball.
What?
I think you had to dunk on the devil.
Oh, that's that. If that's the tagline, I'm in.
I don't remember the specifics of that.
By the way, I think I've mentioned this a few times on the show, but if you have the means, look up and try and track down the Space Jam video game.
Oh.
Because it's really fun. It's just a good basketball game.
Yeah.
But you can play as the Looney Tunes and you build up kind of like special dunk powers where like Wile E. Coyote fucking goes up into the hoop in a rocket and all this kind of stuff. It's really fun. It's really cool.
That was my Bugs Bunny.
So, I mean, like, it's silly to review the character customization thing, but in the other Mass Effect games, that was great and it just, like, built the immersion. Well, and it got you so much more invested. It got me more invested in the story.
Yeah.
Because that was cool. Like, you could really do a cool character design thing.
And I don't think I actually ever used the character design thing in the first ones because I just went with the default Shepard because he looked fine.
You played as the man.
I played as
the
male Shepard.
See, I play as the female Shepard and apparently most people do because she's a better voice actor or something.
Yeah, right. I thought the male one was good and I think it's just because he was on the box. I was like, well, this is the character who's in the game. Like,
yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Like, just that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would like to go play the originals through as the female one and like maybe do the renegade-y stuff too.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly how I play most of these kind of games.
Yeah,
go,
right.
Like,
but so the female Ryder, and Ryder's the name of the character, right?
Yeah.
Looks terrible.
Yeah.
That there's something about the face, more so than the male one for some reason, where she's got this like constant smirk on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I bought the game and haven't played it.
Right.
I went to, by the way, I want to bring this up. I bought it from JB Hi-Fi.
Okay.
Right? Here we fucking
from
go.
From James Brayshaw Hi-Fi.
Yeah. A joke you made to me in our car the other day.
Because James Brayshaw was on the radio
at
the time.
Yeah.
Our car?
In the
you
car.
You guys share a car?
Not, well,
Ben,
sometimes.
Ben gave me a lift to the joke recycling plant. And so
I'm interested to see where you're going with this because I want to put it on record. I love JB Hi-Fi.
Yeah, me too.
Not as huge a fan of James Brayshaw. Don't mind him as a commentator.
I've heard this story, and Ben, let me tell you this. Strap the fuck in.
Okay.
Well, it was $69 when it came out, which is nice.
Great.
And then
perfect price.
By the time I went to buy it on the Friday, they just jacked it up to $79.
Okay. How does that happen? What's the process
you're saying this to him like it's his fault.
They do a thing where when they release a game, they try to make it as low as possible to get people in, and then they just chuck on a weekend tax and like a latecomer tax.
Yeah, I've never seen it happen that quickly. And surely there's like still they've still got like brochures and stuff out that have that $69 price.
Years ago it used to happen and it went away I think for a bit and I was very surprised by it.
Right.
And I think that's just a shitty business. But you can't put a price up. They can only ever go down surely.
Yeah, that's to do it that quickly is pretty brave.
It was annoying. So then in protest, I haven't had time to play the game yet. But because I was looking at a lot of stuff about it,
which
probably took up the same amount of time.
I'm sure it did.
But I think part of the other reason that I haven't played it is, boy, it just doesn't look like it's good.
Yeah.
The writing is the thing for me. People are complaining
the consensus?
About...
The consensus is kind of... I've read a bit of stuff about the way that... kind of queer stuff is handled in it.
Yeah.
People are sort of not so happy about that. Like,
wait,
it seems very.
Are you saying a bunch of internet video game people are annoyed about
the treatment of gender and sexuality in a game?
Yeah.
No, yeah, it feels very. No, this is coming from like
the
queer
other
people
side,
and
right.
stuff.
So
yeah,
this
saying
isn't game again.
It just
people.
Feels very like a bit tacked on and a bit like not like just
a bit tokenistic or something.
Yeah, I watched
a clip of if you're playing the female rider.
Again, just play the game. What are you watching clips for?
I just watched because 2 minutes is a lot easier to waste than the 4 hours,
And it is a waste.
And this also was kind of before it came out. I was looking at little bits and pieces.
Okay, all right. Good, and, good alibi.
It was one of the, like, romance interaction options with the female rider and some pilot woman who was one of the tentacle head aliens. What are they called? Asari.
Yep.
And so I think she was anyway. Maybe she was just a human.
Had a weird hairstyle.
I think she was Irish and that's why I've... But anyway, it was just the worst, most poorly written fucking sub Gilmore Girls bullshit.
Right.
That, like, it was this, like... Zach Braff douchey, like, hey, I like you. Oh god, this is awkward. You're a fucking space hero. You don't talk. Yeah. That's not how.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's been badly written, and I think that's why people are complaining about all the bad animations and shit.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is a lot more of an obvious thing to see, but is so impacted by bad dialogue.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, sure.
The representations of people in that game seem off.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've seen kind of commented on a bit, I just got up to, recently finished the bit in Breath of the Wild where you find the town that is all women and they won't let any men in, and you basically have to find a guy who's...
Do you mean Melbourne? Do you mean modern feminist Melbourne?
Oh, the God. SJWs have done it again.
Oh, I'm washing my hands of this.
I'm living on Cuck Street.
But you have to find a guy who sells you women's clothing and then you can sneak into... Those dumb birds are so easily fooled by a fucking scarf around your head.
Yeah.
But anyway, I read a thing sort of saying how it's kind of a problematic bit because basically the guy who... sells you the clothes is cross-dressing himself.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where you think it's a woman and then there's a bit where a gust of wind comes and lifts his scarf up and you see he's got a beard.
Yeah.
And he's kind of painted as this, like, shameful, and he's very, like, you know, twinkish and, like...
Well, and the whole thing is played for laughs of, like, Link dressing up and stuff
too. How silly is it to dress up as a woman?
Yeah.
And I read a big thing... I've read a couple of things about it, about saying it's kind of problematic and it doesn't... You know, just that it doesn't handle trans stuff in a very kind of, you know, in a very respectful light and all this stuff. This big article going on, here's what they should have done and here's the way they handle it and everything. And at no point has anyone seemed to go, and, you know, this could be wrong of me to say, but I agree that it's a little problematic, but I also go, it is just a very, very Japanese approach to that issue.
Absolutely.
In everything I've read about it, at no point has anyone put that together.
Japanese culture is behind on that stuff.
They literally didn't think. It's a bunch of old Japanese men to whom that just doesn't...
Yeah.
Like, the articles I've read treating it like it's a thing where they're going, should we handle it like this or should we handle it like this? I just don't think that's happening.
No, totally. It's a country full of Daryl Summerses over there.
Yeah.
Just completely toned.
Hey, it's Japan. You're right. A country full of
Hi,
Daryl
hi,
Summers.
It's Japan.
Land of the Red Simons.
Osaka Ostrich.
Yeah. Every time Andrew Fife comes in, there are all these, like, hentai girls with, like, huge tits wearing, like, skimpy bikinis and stuff just bouncing across the screen. It's just Dead or Alive, like, every time they cut to him. Fucking hell. That's great. That would be great if there was, like, some link between Japanese tourists coming here in the 90s and just loving Hey Hey and no one can work out why.
Oh.
And that's why, because Daryl reminds them of themselves.
So, yeah, that thing in that is weird. And Mass Effect, we'll talk more about that probably next week.
Yeah,
I think we're going to have Ben Russell in.
Yep.
And he'll have played it.
And we'll have some time on the weekend to actually play it.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Destiny 2?
No.
Let's very quickly say Destiny 2 has been announced. There's not a lot to talk about with it.
Yeah.
But there was a leak.
Speaking of Ben Russell, he'll be very keen to talk about that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will be as well. I ended up really liking the first one when I went back.
Me too.
And it's a full reset, like, that you can't bring your character over. You can bring, like, the, what do you call it, aesthetic version of your character over.
Yep.
But, there's not a lot else. There was some poster that leaked from some shop. It's meant to be out September 8th, according to that.
Right.
So
sweet.
Cool. That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it for us for this week, right? Yeah. So, yeah, come check us out at the Comedy Festival, our live show, tinyurl.com/filthycasualslive.
Yep.
We've all got our Comedy Festival shows, comedyfestival.com.au for all that information.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again to Lorel Gaming for the PSVR.
Huge shout out to him.
Very good discussion. And yeah,
big old shout out. If you want to donate a stupid amount of money.
Yeah. Just go to paypal.me/filthypod. Our Bandcamp stuff.
I mispronounced incredibly intelligent amount of money.
Yes.
But just then, by the way.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, filthycasuals.bandcamp.
Filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yep, our bonus GTA and Zelda episodes, which people are really liking.
So yeah.
Who's bought them and chipped in.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that.
Well, again, we'll try and get another one of those up at some point soon.
Yeah.
And again, send your ideas in if you want a franchise to be covered.
Our big plan is once the festival's over and we've all got more time, we're going to start churning out a lot more stuff like
YouTube
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks very much for listening. Check us out on social media. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Oh, I genuinely forgot that this was going to happen.
That's actually turning into the thing that we actually do say at the end of the episode.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.